Radio Adventure Theater. I'm Tom Bosley, welcoming you to the magic world of radio, the world of your imagination, a world as vast as the universe. Today's story was written late in the 19th century by Edith Nesbit, a time when life was much simpler than it is today, when the railroad was an even newer thing than airplanes are now, and just as important and fascinating to the people who lived then. It's the story of a family, a mother and two children, who face a serious crisis, but resolve their problems through love, ingenuity, and courage. The Railway Children was written especially for the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater by Robert Newman and stars Sarah Parker and Toby Parker. I shall be back shortly with Act One. They were not called the Railway Children to begin with. They were just Roberta, known as Bobby, and her younger brother, Peter. And they lived in a comfortable house just outside of London and thought of the railway as a means of getting to places like the museum and the zoo. They only became the Railway Children later on, after that strange and terrible night that changed their whole lives.
I can't tell you much about it because there's so much I don't know. It began when two men came to see Father one night, after supper, and he went to talk with them in his study. After a while, he sent for Mother, and when she came out, her face was white.
Is anything wrong, Mother?
Yes, Peter. I'm afraid there is. Those men brought some very bad news.
What kind of news?
I can't tell you that, but your father has to go away with them.
For long?
I hope not for long. And since if he's not here, we won't have much money, we're going to have to move.
To where?
To a place I've found for us in the country, about an hour from here.
Are we moving because we're poor now, Mother?
Yes, Bobby.
Do we have any money at all?
We have a little. Enough to live on for a little while. And as you know, I've been thinking of trying to write some stories, the kind I tell you at night. So I'm going to work very hard on that, and if I start selling them, we'll be fine.
A few days later, we did move. The moving men came for our furniture, and we took the train. It was dark when we got to the house, so we couldn't see much of it. But it seemed very small after our old one. After we were in bed and Mother had said goodnight to us, Peter came into my room.
I'm worried about Father. Where do you suppose he's gone?
I don't know.
Maybe they sent him on a secret mission somewhere, and that's why we're not supposed to ask any questions about it.
Maybe. The next morning, we went out to explore while Mother got things settled in the house. By daylight, the house turned out to be quite pretty. A small white cottage with a garden behind it. There was a field beyond the garden, and beyond the field, there was a railway. We walked down to it and sat on the bank.
It looks different here, doesn't it?
Looks or feels different?
I guess feels. But I don't know why.
Maybe because that's how we came here. By the railway. So it's kind of a link to our old house. And our old life. And London.
And Father.
Yes, and Father.
Listen, a train's coming.
There it is. On its way to London.
Shall we wave to it?
Of course.
The engineer waved back, but no one else did.
That old gentleman did.
Where?
There, in the first-class carriage, He's still waving.
Oh, I see him. He looks nice. You know, I like this. I like being close to the railway. I want to find out everything I can about it. And trains, and everything.
I felt the same way about it, and we decided the place to find things out was the station. So we walked up there. A gray-haired man in a uniform had just come out of the ticket office.
Well, 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 who are you?
We're Peter and Roberta Brandon, and we've just moved into the White Cottage, up on the hill.
Oh, yes, I remember. Well, I'm Mr. Perks, the station master. Oh, don't tell me you're leaving here already.
Oh, no. We're not going away. It's just that we're very interested in the railway, and we'd like to learn something about it.
Well, now, what would you like to know?
What are all those tracks off to the side there that don't go anywhere?
Oh, that's the yard. Freight cars are running there to be unloaded.
And what's the big tower next to the track?
Ah, that's the water tower. Engines need water, you see, and coal to run. And when one of them's low on water, they just stop there and fill up.
And I suppose that's why there's that big pile of coal next to it.
That's right. Oh, trains don't often need it. They take on coal further up the line where they start. But we have it here just in case.
Thank you very much, Mr. Perks. Can we come back sometime?
Why, any time. I'll be glad to talk to you if I'm not busy.
Mr. Perks and the old gentleman on the train. The next morning, and every morning after that, we went down to the tracks and waved to the old gentleman in the first-class carriage. And he always smiled and waved back to us. Several days later, it was raining, but we went anyway. And when we got back, we found Mother warming her hands at the kitchen stove.
Are you cold, Mother?
A little. Spring's late this year, and when I'm up in my room for very long, I start to feel it.
There's a stove in your room, too, Mother. Why don't I build a fire up there?
Because coal's too expensive, Peter. We cook on this stove, so we need it, but we can't afford another fire.
Oh.
I'll see you both later.
Mother really is working very hard on her stories.
Yes, she is. And I think it's terrible that she should be up in her cold room. If Father were here, I'll bet he'd see that she had a fire there.
He's not here. And if coal is expensive...
I know where I can get some without money.
Where?
At the railway yard.
But we can't take any of that, Peter. It's the railway's coal.
But they don't use it. Mr. Perks said they just have it there in case. So taking it would be just like taking it from a coal mine that no one's working anymore.
It would be nice to have enough so Mother wouldn't worry about it.
Well, I'm going to get some. Tonight.
I felt a little strange about it, but I hated to have Mother worrying about things. So I said I'd go too. That night, after supper, we slipped out with a big sack and filled it with coal from the pile at the railway yard. We went there several times. And then, one night, when we just started filling a sack...
Now, I finally got you, you young thief.
Mr. Perks!
Oh, yes, it's Perks, all right. And why, Peter. And Bobby, too. Oh, I am surprised. Two well-brought-up and well-off children stealing like this.
But we're not stealing. At least I hope we're not. Peter said it was just like taking from a mine that no one was using. And besides, we're poor.
Poor?
Yes. Mother said we can't afford more than one fire in the house, and she kept coming down to get warm at the kitchen stove.
We didn't take much. And if you think it's wrong...
Ah, well, it is wrong. That's the railway's coal, and taking it is stealing, no matter why you wanted it.
Are you going to call the police?
Well, no. Considering why you took it, and if you promise not to do it again... I'll forget about it.
We promise. Mr. Perks, you're a darling. We went home feeling ashamed, because no matter what Peter had said, I think we both knew that it was wrong to take the coal. But the next day, we had something much more serious to worry about.
Your mother's sick, children. She has a bad case of influenza.
Is that serious?
Well, it needn't be if she's taken care of properly. That's the next question. Who's going to take care of her?
We will. We'll have to. There are just the two of us besides Mother.
Oh, can you cook, Bobby?
A little. Enough to make things for her and us.
I'd be happier if there was a grown-up around, but you seem pretty competent. I'll send over some medicine for her, but there are some other things she's going to need. I'll write them down.
What did the doctor say to you, children?
That you had influenza and had to stay in bed, but that you'd be fine if we took proper care of you.
He's going to send over some medicine for you, but he also gave us a list of things that you should have.
Let me see the list. What? This is ridiculous. Beef tea? I don't need beef tea. Any soup will do. And grapes? Does he have any idea how much grapes cost? As for brandy, that's out of the question. I will get well without any of that.
If the doctor says she needs these things to get well, she should have them.
But what can we do? We don't have any money.
She's got to get well. Isn't there someone we can ask to buy them? No matter what it costs. And pay them back sometime.
Who can we ask? We don't have any relatives since Aunt Amy died. What about the old gentleman?
The one on the train?
Yes. I'm sure he's well off. He always rides first class. And I think he likes us, because he always smiles and waves to us.
But we've never even talked to him. How could we let him know what we need? And why?
We'll write him a letter.
When we don't know his name or where he lives?
Yes, I'll write him a letter. You'll stand in the field with a sign, telling him to look out the window when the train stops at the station. I'll be waiting at the station, and when he looks out, I'll give him the letter.
Bobby, that's a wonderful idea. That just may do it.
And so, out of their deep concern for their mother, the children decide to approach a man they've never met and ask him for help. Their plan is ingenious, but has a great many uncertain elements. For in spite of their rather touching faith, the man they call the old gentleman is a complete stranger. Will he respond? Are they in for a disappointment? We'll find out shortly when I return with Act Two. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. Now back to the railway children who have been trying to be brave about their father's absence and who now have something else to be concerned about, their mother's illness. Before they went to bed, Bobby wrote a letter to the old gentleman and Peter made a sign telling him to look out at the station. It's the next morning now.
We got up earlier than usual. I left Peter with a sign in the field, where we always waved to the train and went on to the station.
Well, good morning, Bobby. You're up early today.
Yes, I am. Has the train come through yet, Mr. Perks?
The 9:10? No. But it should be here any minute. Why?
There's someone on it I have to talk to.
Oh, a friend?
Yes. At least I hope he's a friend. Where does the first-class carriage stop?
Oh, well, that's the last car on the 910. It should stop at the end of the platform there. But where's Peter this morning?
He's further up the line. Is that the train?
Oh, yes, it is. Right on time. Now, don't stand too close to the edge of the platform.
Oh, where is he? Where? Well,
there's someone looking out up there, Bobby.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Kurt. Sir?
Well, good morning, my dear. I saw the sign that your brother was holding up. He is your brother, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's Peter, and I'm Bobby. Roberta, that is.
Well, I'm very happy to meet you, Roberta. I've been wondering who you were ever since you started waving to me. I find myself looking forward to it every morning.
We do, too. And, sir, here's a letter for you.
A letter?
Yes. It will tell you who we are, and it also asks you to do something. And, well, I hope you won't be annoyed about it.
Oh, why should I be annoyed?
Well...
Hold on!
Oh, dear, the train's going. You will read the letter, won't you?
Well, of course, Roberta. Immediately.
The train left, and I stared after it. I finally met the old gentleman, and he was just as nice as we thought he'd be. I went back to where I'd left Peter, and as we walked home, we wondered how long it would be before we heard from him. At a little after six that night, there was a knock on the door.
Well, evening, Bobby. Peter, here's a package for you.
A package?
Yes, package. Well, it's a sort of a hamper or a basket. A gentleman on the up train from London gave it to me. Asked me to bring it here to you.
Our old gentleman.
Yes, the one you talked to this morning. And how's your mother feeling?
A little better, we think. But what's in here should make her feel much better.
Oh, I hope it does. And please give her my regards.
We'll do that. And thank you very much, Mr. Perk.
Not at all. Good night.
What's that, children?
A package for you, Mother.
For me? From whom?
We're not really sure.
Well, bring it up here.
What shall we do?
Well, it is for her. We'd better take it up.
She's not going to like it. But wait, here's a note. Do you think we should read it?
It's addressed to us.
All right. Well?
Yes. Maybe she won't be angry after she reads it.
Children?
Yes, Mother. We're coming.
Here you are, Mother.
Oh,
what in heaven's name? What's in it?
We think we know, but you'd better look.
What? Brandy? And grapes? And beef tea? And two roast chickens and... And some roses. Well, I don't believe it. Who sent it?
Our friend, the old gentleman.
What old gentleman?
The one on the train. We wave to every morning. You see, the doctor said you really needed some of these things. And even though you said you didn't...
You mean you asked somebody, a complete stranger, for them?
We wanted to get you well, Mother. And we didn't know who else to talk to. And he said in his letter that you shouldn't be angry.
Where is the letter?
Here. It was on the outside of the basket.
But this... He doesn't even sign his name. He just says, your good friend.
Yes. Doesn't that? And the letter itself proved that he didn't mind doing it. Oh, Mother, don't cry. Please. We didn't mean to make you angry.
Darling, I'm not angry. Not anymore. It's just that... I'm not used to having anyone do things for me. For us.
The things in the basket must have helped, because Mother started feeling better right after that. And a few days later, we made another sign that said, she's all well now, thank you. And when we held that up, he smiled and nodded so hard his top hat almost fell off.
Well...
that's that. I think he was pleased.
So do I. How about walking down the line away?
All right. There are lots of flowers near where the tracks go into the tunnel. We can pick some for Mother.
All right.
Bobby, look!
At what?
Those trees on the bank near the tunnel. They're shaking.
They're not shaking. They're moving. Sliding.
The whole bank's come down on the track. It's a landslide.
All that rain we've had must have loosened it.
It's going to be some job to dig it all up. Clear the tracks.
It'll take them hours. Even longer. And, Peter, what time is it?
I don't know. I don't have a watch. But the 9:10 to London went through. So it must be 9:30. Why?
Doesn't the up train come through at about 20 of?
Yes, it does. And you mean the tracks are blocked, and they don't know it?
Yes, and they won't see it when they come out of the tunnel, because there's a curve. They'll run into it at full speed.
We've got to stop the train. If they run into it, people will be hurt, maybe even killed.
Let's run towards the tunnel. The closer we get, the more time they'll have to stop.
Better not go any closer. If we get into the tunnel, they may not see us.
All right. Wait. Wait, listen.
It's coming. Wave as hard as you can. Bobby, don't stand right in the track.
I want to make sure they see it. I'll jump back when it comes out of the tunnel.
Stop! Stop!
Oh, please stop.
Bobby, get back. We are stopping. We are.
Now, what's all this? What are you doing here on the tracks?
There's been a landslide. Look up ahead there.
What? Well, I'll be. Why, if we'd have run into that.
That's why we did it. We were afraid you'd be wrecked.
And so we would have been. A pair of heroes, that's what you are.
They made quite a fuss about it. And of course we were very pleased. The next day, we got a letter from Mr. Jabez Inglewood, one of the directors of the railway, asking if we could be at the station on Friday for a presentation to commemorate our action.
Look at all those people on the platform. There's Mr. Perks and the engineer and fireman of the train we stopped. And Bobby, isn't that...
Yes. It's our old gentleman.
Good afternoon, Roberta and Peter. Is this your mother?
Yes, it is.
Well, Mrs. Brandon, I'm Jabez Inglewood, one of the directors of the Northern and Western Railway.
You're Mr. Inglewood?
Yes, I am.
I'm very happy to meet you and even happier to have an opportunity to thank you in person for that hamper you sent me when I was ill. One of these days, I would like to repay
well,
you.
Now, don't you think the children have more than repaid me and the railway by what they did? Well, we're very much in their debt, which, of course, is why we're here. May we have quiet, please? Please? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here to honor two young people, Roberta and Peter Brandon, for their prompt and courageous action in stopping a train this past Monday and thus averting a serious accident. In token of our appreciation, I, speaking for the other directors, would like to present each of them with a suitably inscribed gold watch.
A watch? I've never had a watch of my own. Oh, Mother, can we accept that? Well...
Of course you can. I'd feel very hurt if you didn't.
Then, thank you very much.
I don't think I have to tell you, Mrs. Brandon, that they're quite extraordinary children. Now, is there anything else that I can do for you? Any way I can help you?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Inglewood. It's very kind of you. No. I don't think there's anything.
Mrs. Brandon hesitated as she said that, which means that there was something. Does it concern her husband, the children's father? It's possible. for it was his mysterious disappearance that changed their lives completely, caused all their difficulties. But if that's what it was, and Mr. Inglewood can help her, why didn't she say so? We'll find out when we return with Act Three. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. Now back to our story. The next few days were happy ones for the Brandons, the happiest they had known since the night Mr. Brandon went away so suddenly and mysteriously. Mrs. Brandon was working on some new stories, and the children were still enjoying the praise and affection of the small community in which they lived. Then came the morning they would never forget.
It was finally spring. A lovely warm day. Mother had sent us into town to buy some fish, and the fisherman had wrapped it in some old newspaper, as he always did. And we were on our way home when Peter said,
"Bobby, what is it?"
This article here in the paper.
What paper?
The one the fish is wrapped in. The headline says that trial ends. Brandon found guilty.
What? Let's see. You don't mean... That can't be, Father.
But it is. It must be. The paper is several months old, from about the time that Father went away. And it says, John Brandon, important figure in the Foreign Office, was found guilty of selling official secrets to a foreign power.
But it can't be, Father. It can't. He wouldn't do such a thing.
Of course he wouldn't. That's why Mother was so miserable. Why she never wanted to talk about it. Tell us where he was.
What do you think we should do?
I think we should tell Mother we know.
I should have known that someday, some way, you'd find out. But you don't believe it, do you? Believe your father did it?
Of course not.
But how did it happen?
There was evidence. Papers were missing, and they found an incriminating letter in your father's desk.
Addressed to him?
No, it wasn't addressed to anyone. It was just a note about meeting someone somewhere.
Then someone must have put it there. But who?
Your father and I always thought it might be Forsythe, your father's assistant. He'd always been jealous of your father. He got your father's job when your father went to jail.
But why didn't you tell us?
Because I felt it would be too difficult for you, that you'd be better off not knowing. I see now that it was a mistake. Do you have any plans for this afternoon, children?
I have. The boys at Chilton School are having a paper chase, and I thought I'd go watch.
What's a paper chase?
It's sometimes called Hare and Hound. One boy, the hare, has a bag filled with bits of paper. He starts running, dropping the scraps of paper. And the others, the hounds, follow the trail and try to catch him.
That sounds like fun. Can I come too?
Of course.
Do you know when it's going to be and where?
It's starting at the school at 2:00. That's quite a way off. But Mr. Perk says the hare will probably come this way because it's all downhill and run along the railway.
Out along the railway to the hill where the tunnel went through. And a little while later, we saw the hare. He was a tall boy of about 16, and he was running hard and dropping bits of paper as he ran. He came to the tracks, hesitated a minute, then turned and ran to the tunnel.
I say, look at that.
Is that fair, going into the tunnel?
Why not?
It's too dark to see the paper.
Well, once the hounds go in, they'll know they have to go all the way through. And they can pick up the trail on the other side.
Here they come. How many are there?
4, 6, 8, 10 of them.
No, 11. There's another. The one in the red jersey.
Oh, yes. He's way behind.
He's limping. He must have hurt his foot, or else he has a blister. Now what?
Let's go over the hill and watch them come out the other side. There's the hare. He's climbing up the bank.
And here comes the first of the hounds. He's gained on him.
And it's still a long way back to the school. He may catch him.
Here comes the rest of the hounds. They may catch him, too.
Yes. Well, that's that. Shall we go now?
What?
Shall we go now? I want to do some work in the garden.
Weren't there 11 hounds?
Yes. Why?
There are only 10 of them now. One's missing. The boy in the red jersey.
Oh, yes. The one who is limping. He'll probably be along soon.
Suppose he fell and hurt himself or something. And he's still in the tunnel.
You mean, the others wouldn't know it till they got back to the school.
I think we ought to go down and look in the tunnel. I'm sure something's happened to him. And if it has, he may need help.
Do you hear anything? See anything?
No.
It's awfully dark. We must be almost halfway through by now.
I know. But Peter, I think... Yes! Yes, here he is.
Where?
Lying here on the track. I think he's unconscious. And Peter, what time is it?
I don't know. It's too dark to see my watch. But it must be almost 3. Why?
Doesn't the train come through a little before 3?
Oh, golly, yes. And he's lying right on the track.
We've got to move him before he gets here, or he'll be killed.
Move him where?
There are bays on the side of the tunnel. Places for workmen to stand when the train comes through. Yes, here's one. We'll move him here.
He's a lot bigger than we are. I don't know if we can.
We've got to. Take his feet. I'll take his head. Now, lift and pull. That's it.
Maybe we should try to wake him again. If we can.
We can't. There's the train. Lift and pull again. Once more. There. Now this way, off the track.
Is it clear?
Yes. Are you awake? Can you hear me?
What? Yes, of course. Where am I?
In the tunnel. You were running through and something must have happened.
I remember. I tripped on something. You saved my life.
I guess maybe we did. What's your name?
Jim. Jim Knowles. Oh, you two are just about the smartest and bravest people I've ever known.
Peter came back with the men. It was too far to take Jim to the school. So they carried him to our house. Mr. Englewood.
Good afternoon, Roberta. Well, I understand you've done it again.
Done what?
Isn't my grandson Jim here?
You mean you're his grandfather?
Yes, I am. Mrs. Brandon, Roberta, Peter, I don't know what to say to you.
I don't think there's any need to say anything.
Oh, I do. The railway was greatly in debt to your children for stopping the train, and now I find myself even more deeply and personally in their debt. For as I understand it, they saved Jim's life.
We were very happy to help Jim, even though it was pretty scary for a while. Mr. Englewood stayed for a while, talking to Mother and us. And when he was ready to leave, Peter and I said we'd walk him to the station. There might be something you could do for us. Mother wouldn't dream of asking you, but we thought we would.
And what's that, Roberta?
It's about Father. I don't know what you could do, but if you could do anything, We'd be the ones who are grateful, more grateful than anyone ever was.
Oh, well, you tell me all about it. I remember the case. Remember thinking at the time that it was ridiculous to believe that a man of your father's caliber could do such a thing. And now that I've met you and your mother, I'm convinced of it.
Then you think you could do something?
Well, I don't know. I have friends in the Foreign Office and also at Scotland Yard. Don't say anything to your mother about it. Not even that you discussed it with me. But I shall certainly look into it.
A few days went by, and on Sunday morning, I woke up feeling very strange. Not sick, but as if something were going to happen. After breakfast, I went out and Peter followed me.
Where are you going?
Down to the station.
Why?
I don't know. I just want to be there when the 9:42 comes in.
That's silly. Nobody ever comes on that. Even Mr. Perks isn't at the station.
You don't have to come if you don't want to.
I've nothing else to do, so I might as well. Well, there it is. And just as I said, no one's getting off. Bobby, isn't that...
Yes, Father. Father!
Bobby! Oh, Bobby, my darling. And Peter.
Is it really you, Father?
It certainly is. But where's your mother?
At the house. We came down alone.
Oh, but why didn't you get my telegram?
Telegram?
Yes, I was released late yesterday afternoon. I sent a telegram saying I was coming.
But today's Sunday. The telegraph office is closed, so they don't deliver telegrams.
Well, then, how is it that you're here?
I don't know. I just had a feeling. I wanted to be. Father, what happened?
Well, it seems a friend of yours got interested in the case.
Mr. Inglewood.
That's right. And he talked to people, and they began investigating again. And Forsyth panicked and tried to leave the country. And when they stopped him, he confessed everything.
Then it's all over. You're really free?
Yes, children, I'm free. I'm completely clear. Now, come on. Show me the way to the house.
And so the railway, which played such an important part in the lives of Bobby and Peter, continued to play its part to the very end, bringing back to them the one person they needed to make their lives complete. I'll be back shortly. And so ends our story of the railway children. A story of another and a simpler time, but one that still lives, still is read and enjoyed, not only because it mirrors that time long past, but because it's concerned with some very basic and lasting values, courage and faith, and the love of members of a family for one another. Our cast included Sarah Parker, Toby Parker, Ian Martin, Terry Keane, William Griffiths, and Gilbert Mack. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.
Casper Roots Carpenter.